and the dead. Immediately, we've got to remind ourselves that Christ among human beings, for the obvious reason that Christ, being God, does not have to weigh the pros and cons and then reach a decision. Nevertheless, the expression to judge or pass judgment remains. Immediately, over the centuries, the Church has identified Christ as judge on two levels of judgment. He is, first of all, our judge the moment our body dies and we enter eternity. In other words, the moment our soul leaves the body, that is the end of our period of probation, our period of being tried. It is also the end of our meriting before God. And by merit, we mean earning divine grace in this life and heavenly glory in the life to come. Once our body dies, no one merits before God. We will surely retain our free wills once our body dies. Nevertheless, the freedom that we possess once, I repeat, the body dies, is no longer the freedom that, as we say, the merit before God. And that is one just good supernatural business. That is one we should strive, if I can use the expression, to squeeze every drop of merit from our lives here on earth while we are still in our bodies. Once the soul leaves the body, all merit ceases. The first judgment, therefore, to which we will be subjected is the judgment called the particular judgment. I repeat, it is not as though Christ, who will call us into eternity, our last and, dare I say, most important vocation, all other calls, all other vocations are in anticipation of that last one being called from time into eternity. Each one of us will be judged. The length of time for that judgment, be told by the church, will be very short. You might almost say it will be instantaneous. God knows how well He knows the moment our soul leaves the body. He knows what our lot or state in eternity is going to be. Whether our souls are saved and will go straight to heaven, or still have expiation in purgatory, or, please God, this will not happen to any of us, that our souls will be lost. The divine decision will be exercised by Jesus Christ, which is not a trivial observation. In other words, the same Christ who came into the world, and what are we saying, on whom the world passed His judgment, remember the crowd during Christ's passion, when Pilate brought Jesus out, having by then been scourged, crowned with thorns, bleeding, a spectacle. The Latin phrase has made the sculpture and art of all nations. Ecce homo, behold the man. But those who were after Christ to do away with Him had no compassion. Led by their misleaders. Away with Him, away with Him. And the Pilate protested, "Shall I do this to your king?" And Pilate really believed. He believed that Jesus was the King of the Jews. Then, talk about hypocrisy, they shouted, "We have no king but Caesar." You louts! Then, finally, Jesus, allowing Himself to be condemned to death. Our Lord allowed Himself to be mocked, scourged, allowed Himself to carry the cross, and indeed allowed Himself to be crucified. How we need to hear this and have it burnt into our minds. The world passed judgment on its Creator and its Savior. And then, as we know, had Him put to death. Then the same identical Jesus who was condemned by his own people then, having been crucified, dying, and being buried, then, as we read in the Apostles' Creed, Christ then foretold that he would come, he would return, the same one who is judged by the world and crucified by the world that he made, now was to be judged. That world was to be judged by its Maker and Savior. We need to keep reminding ourselves that Christ's second coming will be nothing like the first. He will come, as he tells us, in glory and majesty. We might ask ourselves, why then should there be, as our faith tells us, there will be, not only a particular judgment when our body dies, but a general judgment at the end of the world. Again, drawing on the church's wisdom, there is to be not only a particular judgment for each one of us, whose immediate purpose is to inform us what is our lot for eternity. My friends, I beg you, every day that you go to bed, every morning you rise from sleep, remind yourselves there will be a last sleep that you will take, and a last morning that you will awake. In fact, over the centuries, the church tells us that's why we daily go to sleep. More than once, remember in the Gospels, when a person had died, whom Christ had planned to raise from the dead, Christ would say, that person is sleeping. Talk about the wisdom of God. He knows us much, much better than we know ourselves. He knows we need, every 24 hours, we need a daily reminder that we will fall asleep indeed, but it'll be a long, prolonged, maybe centuries or even millennia long sleep. How we need this, all of us, beginning with a speaker, to keep us in touch with reality. Now, the moment we close our eyes, and remember the phrase I'm using in bodily death, we never die. I repeat, we never die. By mistaken use of language, we see that somebody died. Not so. The body dies. not the person. The moment the body dies, this is our faith, locked up in the seventh article of the Creed. We shall be judged, otherwise known as we shall be duly informed about our lot through all eternity. We all know, in greater or less measure, let me tell you, the so-called New Age movement is infecting large sections of the Catholic Church. Parishes of Detroit, and during the holy season of Lent, lectures on the New Age movement, classes, may God forgive the priests and teachers, classes in Catholic schools on the New Age movement. And there is one fundamental error about the New Age movement. It does not believe in what we're talking about. Reincarnation. That is a demonic lie. For all of us, there is one conception, one birth, one death, one judgment when our body dies, and one destiny through all eternity. We go back to our question. Why then, in God's mysterious providence, will there be not only a particular judgment when we leave this world and enter, as we casually say, the world to come? Why will there be a general judgment? And there will be. As explained by St. Thomas Aquinas, the fundamental reason is because both our good deeds and our misdeeds do not cease when we do them. Whatever we do, every action we perform, called a human action, which means conscious, deliberate, moral act, whether good or bad, has consequences that will go on and on until the end of time. And what God wants to reveal to the whole world is not only what human beings had done, but what have been the results of what they had done. Talk about public exposure. But watch this. How many people have asked me, does this mean that our sins will be publicly paraded before the whole world? Consolation. No, if we have repented. No, I repeat, if we have repented. Accept to glorify God for His mercy, and that we might be praised for the humility of our repentance and humility. But listen, our sins are meant to be our education. Our sins in God's providence are meant to be pedagogical. We ought to learn. Learn what? Learn who we are. Learn how weak we are. Learn how helpless we are. Learn, I don't see how little, how nothing we can do without the grace of God. And if there is one purpose for a retreat, and there are many purposes, I can think of none that is more fundamental than during the days of a retreat, by our honest and humble reflection on our past sins, we humiliate ourselves in the eyes of God, recognize what sinners we are, and then watch it. And then, whatever you do as a result of the retreat, in the name of God, do this. Promise Him, Lord, I've been a fool. I've been a scoundrel. I promise my Lord to love you, to give you myself as I would never have thought of doing, except in your mercy you have so kindly exposed to my own eyes my own sinfulness and weakness and lack of generosity towards you, except for whom I would be what I was before you made me out of nothing. Either a retreat makes us more generous, more loving, more giving up of ourselves to God, or I wasted your time. All of this is locked up in the 7th article of the Creed, where we pray, He that is Jesus Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead.